The powerful legislative money committees wound up their budget briefings last week, and his session is about to begin tomorrow. We talked to the Senate Ways and Means Chairman Donovan de la Cruz about the difficult decisions ahead.
Know that we have less general funds. Not all the federal funds are guaranteed to come in based on what still needs to pass Congress, except the package that just got recently passed. But this is our opportunity to look at where we can restructure parts of government to make it more efficient or effective in getting the services that the public needs.
House Finance Chair Sylvia Luke was talking about, you know, rethinking our relationship with the counties.
Yeah, I think there's several services that the state takes on that typically counties take on, such as emergency services. That's something that the state has been subsidizing. The state pays for schools. The counties don't in Hawaii, but in other places that is the case. I'm not saying that they would take that on, but we would probably, now is a good time to look at the kind of services that the state's providing and subsidizing versus what the counties typically provide.
Normally the mayors come begging for their share of the hotel room tax.
You know, the reality is when it comes to property tax, the counties do have a resort category. You know, so they do make money from the fact that they can charge property taxes to resorts and other travel-related activities.
What else are you looking at when it comes to the state budget? There was a concern initially about the furloughs and layoffs.
You know, one of the things that we've been trying to work with the governor and ask him about, and I know the House has also asked, we're looking at the retirement numbers. How many people are going to be retiring in the next year or 2 years, and see what cost savings is from that.
There is the concern that we've had about the Honolulu Police Department padding their high three, you know, with the overtime. How are you folks looking at that? Because at some point, we've got all these unfunded liabilities that just keep going up, up, up.
We don't want anyone taking advantage of these different benefits because ultimately the taxpayer has to pay. So there are a bunch of proposals that are circulating currently at the ledge. We're still building consensus. We're talking to ERS and UTF to see what would be the best way to approach it so that it's fair and reasonable and transparent.
How are you looking at the governor's ideas to possibly raise taxes?
That's difficult. I think for many of us, this may not be the best time to raise taxes because so many people are taking so many different hits. You know, one of the things that we should be looking at a lot more aggressively is job creation and diversifying the economy. It may not happen overnight, but that will definitely, as time goes on, increase the tax base.
On that point, you know, you've been a big advocate of ag. You know, we hear lots of talk about we need to do better when it comes to sustainability. I mean, if anything, we've learned that with COVID because we don't produce enough food here to feed ourselves.
Exactly. So one of the things that we learned from Australia is that export has to be right there along sustainability, just because value-added products and value-added crops create the revenue you need to pay for infrastructure, to pay for all the different aspects related to sustainability.
Talked about diversification for a very long time, but what else are we doing to support ag?
Well, we need a lot more support from the administration as well as the department. But, you know, traditionally the legislature has put in the last several years money to acquire ag land, money to put in for ag infrastructure. One of the things that we've been asking more about is a pathway for more agricultural jobs in regards to not just the high school level, but community college, so that people can get real training and then we can get more people in agriculture. And agriculture has evolved so much. You know, it's not the same agriculture that our grandparents had to experience where they were in the hot sun for 10 hours a day picking pineapple or cutting sugar. You know, agriculture has become high tech in many aspects. But product development is also important. You know, it's the candies, the cookies, the lotions, all the products that you can make from ag that will help create more of a demand for ag as well.
Do you think the administration is doing enough to set a pathway for us?
That's where I think the legislature can hopefully step up to the plate and work with the university system, work with the Department of Education, and work with the landowners who ultimately will become those that will work with those who come through the pathway so that they can become farmers.
You've been a big proponent of trying to do something with the state lands along the rail route. You know, how are you looking at that situation right now?
At our first budget hearing, we met with Eugene Tiang from Department of Business Economic Development and Carl Bonham, who gave us an economic outlook. And what they've recommended was putting more in infrastructure. You know, we know we need affordable housing. We have state lands along the rail line. It's going to be housing that's not going to be single family home. It'll probably be a lot more dense. But we need infrastructure. You know, you need to put in all the underground infrastructure before anybody can build. And that will help also make the housing more affordable by the state putting in that kind of investment.
Economist Carl Bonham had talked about selling land if we need cash. Well, what do you think of that idea?
No, I'm not a big proponent of selling state land. I don't think that's a good idea. I think, in fact, quite the opposite. I think the state should be acquiring more land so that we can provide different types of opportunities in regards to affordable housing or education or even agriculture. I mean, we should be a lot more strategic in land acquisition. I think it's better for the state, ultimately the taxpayer and the community to own it than I do someone coming in from out of state or out of country. You know, in our meetings with the different departments these past 2 weeks, there are going to be some opportunities for restructuring, for refocusing. This allowed us the time to look at services that maybe people don't use anymore, that they don't make a big impact. But when, in our last meeting with the Department of Education, I think they have about $270 million shortfall, but they're going to get about $183 million from the feds. And there could be more money coming from the feds with the new Biden administration coming in. Some of it is wait and see, but I think it's better for us to be conservative at the beginning until we can see what the feds are going to do and just make the structural changes we need and the right investments that we have to make so that we can expand our economy and provide people the social net service, safety net services that they still need to prevent any worse circumstances from occurring.
We're probably going to hear more about the gambling initiatives. What are your thoughts about that? Where do you think the Senate lies on that issue?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I think in the past, the Senate has always introduced different gaming bills. You know, I've been a big proponent of paramutual or horse racing. We've had it historically. You know, the Kapi'olani Park was a racing track. We'll see what happens. I think it's also important to look at that it may be just enabling legislation for the Department of Hawaiian Homelands to decide what they want to do. But, you know, we're at the beginning of discussion. We'll see where it goes. I just don't want it to detract from the conversation of having to diversify our economy and create revenues from public-private partnerships or other things that we have long talked about but have not done. There's still Aloha Stadium. You know, there's lots of effort going into making sure that can get passed so we can amend a law that we passed previously. I think that's going to be a huge economic driver. I think it's needed. The stadium is falling apart, but there's also the 98 acres that we can come up with commercial and residential development right along the rail line. So I think that's going to be exciting. The other thing that I think that's important for us to look at is tourism cannot be the same way. You know, I think a lot of people have said that they don't want the same carbon footprint that tourism was before COVID. We want a higher spending visitor with lower numbers of visitors, which I think is ultimately the better strategy. But we have to put more emphasis on tech, on healthcare, on cybersecurity, and in ag.
Okay. And then whatever happened to that proposal that you had for cybersecurity, that training center out there? Is it Mililani?
Yeah, so that's moving along, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, with the governor has released funds so that we could start to plan and do the grading for the 150 acres in Mililani Tech Park. That would be the home for the state's first responders and cybersecurity tech park. You know, this whole pandemic has only proven that we need better infrastructure, better facilities, better equipment, better technology, and we need an area where the synergies of all our first responders can be more supportive for each other and ultimately have a better response for the public, a much faster response for the public good.
So is there something in his budget this year?
I don't think so, but all the years in the past, it's mm-hmm. been legislatively driven, so that may have to be the case again.
Anything else?
Council of Revenues, you know, they did provide us a little bump, and they'll be back in March, and we'll see what they say then. I think they're also looking to see what the feds come up with in the next couple months before they probably become too optimistic, but, right. You know, we're hopeful.
And then real quick, then the opening of the ledge, right? Very pared down, all about business. Straight to work.
Yeah, this is going to be extremely scaled back, not just because of the incidences that have occurred around the country and the capital, but just because of the whole COVID pandemic. You know, I think it's better that we really focus on social distancing and making sure people can telework so that we can prevent any type of spread. And it's really going to be focusing on the business of the people's needs.
That was Senator Donna Medela Cruz talking to us about our economic recovery and the challenges ahead for our state.